Okay, it's me. I'm live. I'm here with you today. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. It's good to be here today. Sometimes I have a hard time calling down exactly what I want to talk about, but if I can, let me give out the phone number for the radio station in case somebody has a really super important question to ask or they need help. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. It is truly a gorgeous day outside. I think you should be outside all day. Who cares if it's 110 degrees outside? I'm looking at pictures this morning. I'm looking at the picture of a ladybug crawling on a large sage leaf. But you know what sage is? That's what they make stuffing out of. They put in a turkey on Thanksgiving. Somebody's trying to call, so let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. Good morning. I think I got the button pushed.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm on my way to work.
Excellent. How can I help you?
Hey, our little mutual friend up north has a question.
Okay.
We're talking blood pressure. His doctor said it's high. I don't know what the numbers are. But we were wondering what would be something natural that would help blood pressure to stay in check.
Okay.
Would I ask that?
Yep, that's a good question. the research I'm drawing upon, it comes from three countries. One is Czechoslovakia, one is Poland, and one is Yugoslavia. Now, I need to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because the research comes from Poland or Czechoslovakia, does that mean you're going to cast it aside and say it's not relevant?
What about a relative?
No, never mind.
Actually, he's part Polish, so I think it'll be okay.
Oh, so this is the most relevant research of all time. But what they did in this particular study, there's a class of drugs called ACE inhibitors. It has that's an acronym for ACE or angiotensin converting enzyme. Anyway, to make a long story short, I am going to try to convince you today that the kidneys may be the greatest gatekeeper of all in the body when it comes to blood pressure. It's not the only factor, but, you know, if your heart is under stress because it's beating too hard and it's exerting too much force on your arterial system and your pressure goes up, even your heart releases a hormone called diuretic hormone. And that's just a hormone where your body says, oh, so to lower pressure, you want us to get rid of extra fluid in the bloodstream. And then your body says, yeah. But the kidneys have the task of doing that. So enter the flower called hibiscus.
Okay.
It's got to be one of the prettiest flowers of all time. Have you ever had a hibiscus tea?
I don't think so.
If one picks the flower petals from a hibiscus flower and they let them air dry, they almost look like a purple beet red fuchsia color. They're just stunning. But when they dry, you can put them in a tea ball or in a cup and pour hot water over them, and voila, you've got this purple-red tea that you look at and say, hey, that looks pretty good. But it's just all natural. But hibiscus has been shown to have a very good therapeutic benefit upon the kidneys. Now, I'm probably a nerd toward these things, but when I've read some of the research from India, they are even using hibiscus in trials for blood cancer, such as a lymphoma or a leukemia or even a multiple myeloma, and they're having some success. So, I mean, these substances that God has created for us are just phenomenal. To me,
right.
It just speaks volumes of how much He loves us and cares about us because we have all these beautiful things to participate in. So,
right.
3 cups of hibiscus tea a day is one thing that could be easily recommended. The other thing that I'm just going to quickly cover, if he's in a crisis, if we can't figure out what the cause of the blood pressure is, I say let's give him magnesium.
Magnesium, okay.
When a person is under significant stress, their body produces both adrenaline and cortisol and other hormones that tend to make a person feel kind of stressed on the inside. But if that goes
quite a bit of stress.
Yeah, but if that goes on for too long, it kind of starts to spiral out of control. But enter magnesium, because magnesium, it has a relaxing effect. And actually, magnesium plays a pretty good role in helping your body kick out and get rid of all the stress hormones. I'm not saying that magnesium does mind control and tells you don't worry. It doesn't do that. But, you know, there is the strongest of arguments that there are some, when you take a step back and you look at the situation, say, do I have any control over the situation? And sometimes I say to myself, Roy, can you control that? And I go, no, you cannot. So even if it weren't for the Lord, I would have been dead a long time ago. So,
yeah, that makes a lot of us.
Well, yes, absolutely, in more ways than one. Mm-hmm. But magnesium, it can be a game changer. The other thing that can be a game
about
changer...
About how much magnesium?
Well, depending on what he purchases, he could either follow the manufacturer's recommendation, but if he's got a significant issue with blood pressure, maybe we should go to whatever the manufacturer recommends and multiply that by two, unless his bowels become loose. Then in that case, you can say, Dr. Morgan says he's sorry that he caused you to run to the bathroom over and over again. Maybe we should cut that dose down.
Actually, that would be a big help because of some of the medications that he's on. He just had oral surgery, and that's causing the opposite problem right now.
Yeah. Opioids and anything based on those are famous for causing constipation. The magnesium would be good. The other thing that I really think of, research that was done on Mount Fuji. Do you remember the years that you were working in the apple orchard right off the side of the mountain? Remember those years?
Back in the day, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you know what a kimono is?
Yes.
Now, do you like them? You're hesitating. I didn't say that. But in this particular study, one of the ways that orchard workers were paid is they could eat endless amounts of apples. And, of course, I might be joking slightly, but, you know, it's true. I guess it's the Fuji apple that comes off the orchards that are on the side of the mountain of Mount Fuji. But those that ate apples, they said, okay, what do we have here? You know that apples are a good source of a mineral or an electrolyte called potassium. Mm-hmm. And potassium is really important to maintaining the integrity of or the flow of the blood. So when people eat apples, they tend to have lower blood pressure, and they absolutely have some of the lowest occurrence of strokes. And maybe a different way of me thinking this through is, any time that the blood becomes kind of thicker or gunkier, I know these aren't precise medical terms, but what you want you want blood to flow at a high rate of speed smoothly, just slipping and sliding through your capillaries. You don't want there to be thick blood to make your heart work hard. So, why does the old phrase go? An apple a day keeps who away?
The doctor away, that's right.
At least you didn't say Dr. Morgan. I thought you were.
Absolutely not.
Okay. And so you can look at that. Now, I tend to think that when the body's under stress, we need to help aid in its ability to manage stress, and so the hibiscus tea is going to have a good action upon his kidneys and his blood, and I'm almost positive that if he sticks with that, he's going to see a lowering of his blood pressure because it's going to have a therapeutic benefit. The other thing that I like very, very much is oxygen. So let me talk about that topic just for a split second, but I'm a kind of create a scenario that's probably real for a whole bunch of people, but here goes.
Right.
When a human being lays down at bed at night, and they go to sleep. Well, when you're asleep, you don't really know everything that's going on, do you? You're asleep.
You're asleep, exactly.
Do you still sleep with one eye open?
No, I was able to quit that last week.
Okay. But when you go to sleep, you kind of pass out into Never Never Land or Dreamland, and you don't know what's going on. But if you go to sleep at, say, 10 o'clock at night, and by 11:45 or 12, you kind of wake up wide awake, and you go, why isn't my heart racing? Why do I have to go to the bathroom? What do I have to urinate for? Well, the simple way that I can reverse engineer all that is, number one, here's what the studies show. If a person goes to sleep and they don't wake up and they don't get up to go to the bathroom, And when they wake up in the morning at, say, 6, or whenever that is, and they say, oh, my goodness, that was the greatest night's sleep of all time, well, those people probably don't have to listen to this conversation because they're perfect. But if a person wakes up a couple hours after they go to sleep and they are wide awake, most likely what's happening is this. They are not getting enough oxygen to the heart. And the body counters that low oxygen state with increasing the heart rate. But when you increase the heart rate, your heart's going, oh my goodness, we're supposed to be resting, but we're working harder. So a cycle of events takes place, and one of them is your heart starts releasing diuretic hormone. And guess what diuretic hormone does? It tells your body, oh my word, maybe we should start forming urine at 1 o'clock in the morning. And so you get up to urinate. And so I hear these stories all the time. And so with your friend that's having some stress right now, we want to increase oxygen. One of the ways of doing that is just putting those Breathe Right nasal strips on his nose before he goes to bed and see if that's a game changer for him. I mean, that really, pretty cheap stuff.
Yeah, really.
I mean, compared to other remedies.
Well, yeah. I think the doctor that he goes to up there has him on clonidine.
Oh, yeah.
0.1 milligram twice a day.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of times when somebody goes to the hospital and they are just totally stressed out and their blood pressure is out of control, the clonidine is usually the first drug they go to try to get it under control.
I mean, the problem is that he misplaced them, so that's why we're having this conversation.
Oh, okay. Well, and you know,
doesn't want to take that kind of stuff anyhow. He prefers the stuff that you tell us to take.
Well, and so
suggest that we take.
I recommend an apple a day.
Or two. Yeah.
You know what? What would be harmful if he took and put some almond butter over an apple and he ate that as a meal? That wouldn't be horrible, would it?
I guess not. I've never had almond butter.
Excuse me? You live in Texas, young man. No, I'm joking about that.
Yeah.
But you could eat the apple, couldn't you?
Oh, definitely.
I'm guessing where you come from, they like to serve apples with antipasta and with peanut butter.
Oh, they're great with peanut butter.
Oh, you have first-hand experience with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have to admit it.
And so if he would look at those things, I'm a huge fan of celery when it comes to stress on the circulatory system. So maybe he could put the peanut butter on the celery or something like that, or just, you know.
Almond butter.
Well, it may be. Well, you know, if you're on the island of Corsica and they say, peanut butter, what is that? We only have almonds here.
That's right.
Is he going to the island of Corsica later today?
No, I don't think that's on the schedule.
How about Yugoslavia? Is he heading that direction?
I think he's just going to kind of hang around.
Okay, all right. Well, if he could tactfully choose to limit his sugar consumption. Now, the molecule...
He's not a big sugar eater.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Thanks.
He's more on the healthy side, or tries to be.
The big molecule that's probably studied most exclusively when it comes to blood issues or blood pressure issues is a molecule called nitric oxide. And, you know, nitrous oxide is what they would give as laughing gas if you were at a dentist's office.
Right,
or,
exactly.
You know that sports car you have in your garage that has the large high-performance engine on it?
Yeah, that one, huh?
Well, when you take it to the performance shop and you say, I'd like you to hook up some nitrous to it, that means you're trying to get a little bit more boost of power out of your engine.
Right.
So, in your case, 500 horsepower is not good enough. You need to make it 600 horsepower. So they would attach a nitrous bottle to it. But in the human body, nitric oxide, when your body makes it and releases it, it increases blood flow. Now, I am not trying to be crude by what I'm trying to say, but one of the most popular prescription drugs among men above the age of 40 is a drug called Viagra.
And exactly.
I don't want any comments on that. I'm just saying that.
No,
but the way
I was just going to say, they advertise it, of course, a lot on TV.
Right, but that drug increases nitric oxide production. So a lot of times when people have issues with blood flow, It's because they have a lack of nitric oxide. Now, enter the lowly, earthy, delicious beet. That's spelled B-E-E-T.
Yes.
But the beet is a great nutritional source of a substance called nitrates.
Okay.
And nitrates in the human body make it easier for your body to produce nitric oxide.
Got it.
So if you ever walk down the aisle and you see a bag of beet powder, you might think, what are they selling that for? I mean, that looks gross. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, I mean, you know how beets taste. They're a very earthy vegetable.
Yes, they are.
Do you remember when you were a little boy, your mother would cook the beets for everybody else, but on your plate she would put a raw beet, and there would still be plenty of dirt attached to it. But she did that because she loved you. She wanted you to be extra strong.
Got it.
Okay. But beets contain nitrates, and nitrates make it easier for your body to produce nitric oxide, which helps open up blood flow.
What would be out of these your top choice or top two choices?
Well, the reason I said hibiscus is because that's super, super cheap and that's easy to come by.
Perfect.
And the reason I said an apple also is because that's real. God made it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be an excellent source of potassium. And avocados are a great source, and celery. So you remember what Hippocrates said a long time ago, back when we were young? That's a joke.
Yeah.
He said, let thy food be thy medicine, and let thy medicine be thy food. And I'm just thinking, man, we have completely forgotten what it's like to make our food the basis of great health. And we've got to return.
Right.
You know, I hear stories all the time. And the one story that I heard recently is, oh, you're losing a little bit of weight on the chemotherapy. Well, just anything you eat's going to be fine. Are Dr. Pepper's okay, doctor? Yes, drink as many as you like. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Is there not a better choice than a Dr. Pepper?
Anything's better than Dr. Pepper.
So those are choices. I think magnesium is going to be an essential element. So I think those are going to be by far.
Multiple things.
Well, is money, is that an issue?
Yeah.
Okay, then let's go with those then, because those are going to be the low cost. And plus, if he eats celery, and he eats apples, and but beet powder is real inexpensive at the store.
Okay.
I mean, did you just have like a major head-on collision with something?
No, I just am walking into the office.
Okay. All right. Well, let me know if that works out great, okay?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your help.
All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too, buddy.
Bye. All right. Our phone lines are once again open at 903-586-5257. Before I go to the phone lines, though, and I'm sorry to do this, I didn't sound very efficient, but let me read this to you, because this question was posed to me, and I did not know the complete research on it, so here it is right here. In the year 2011, which means that was just like a few years ago. Well, eight. All right, now, let me give you some background history. There is a plant that grows here in America. Let me see, the genus name for sage is Salvia, which comes from the Latin root for safe or healthy. I think I like that. So the plant is called Salvia salvatrix, or it means sage as a savior. You can take the part about the savior with a grain of salt. They're not suggesting that sage is your savior anyway. But this right here I find very, very interesting. So we're talking about, if you want to call it an herb, if you want to call it a spice, if you want to call it a food, if you want to call it natural medicine, I am good with all that. But I like the idea of saying that it's safe and healthy. Because quite often, don't you hear from sometimes healthcare professionals that these things are toxic and deadly and they could harm you? Well, I mean, come on. But listen to this right here. In the year 2011, researchers, they did a multi-center clinical trial in Switzerland. Now, I realize this was not done in Jacksonville, Texas. It should have been, but it wasn't. So we'll take the information that we can learn from our Swiss counterparts that are studying the herb or the spice or the remedy sage. That's SAGE. And they did an 8-week study, but I want to just, it'll take me just 30 seconds to read this to you. If you're a woman that has hot flashes or you sweat a lot, listen to this. During this 8-week study, participants took a tablet of fresh sage leaves and they report a significant reduction in the intensity and the frequency of their hot flashes. Now, that may not be important to men, but that may be really important to a lot of wives that are dealing with hot flashes. The researchers reported that, and I'm quoting them, that the mean total number of hot flushes per day decreased significantly each week from week 1 to week number 8. That's actually kind of an important concept. That means if they took this fresh sage leaves and in the form of a tablet, they're saying it got better the longer they took it. It says the mean number of mild, moderate, severe, and very severe hot flushes decreased by 46%, 62%, 79%, and 100% over 8 weeks respectively. I mean, that's very impressive. If you'd like to join me on the radio, I'm free now. But that's interesting. So that's one of the things that you want to think of is how can this natural substance that God has made for us because he loves us and cares about us, how could that benefit me if I have severe sweating all the time? You know, this might come in handy if a woman has come off some type of hormone replacement therapy because it has horrible side effects. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
Just fine. How are you?
I am good. Thanks for asking.
I was just wanting to know your thoughts on something. I have a very beloved relative that has decided that him and his family have decided to go on the carnivore diet. And I just want to know your thoughts on that.
I think it has potential for being very, very beneficial, but for a short season.
Okay.
And can I tell you why I'm saying that, though?
Sure.
I have no issues experimenting with every person that walks in the door. Now, I would personally never do any of these health remedies. You know, I'm just joking as I say that. But when somebody comes to see me and they're in a desperate place, there are times that I recommend a carnivore diet. But I have no way to try to express that it's going to work for everybody. But I try to help choose the candidates. But for some people, a carnivore diet can be a way to modify or do a type of a modified fast and give their body just a rest and a break from processing, you know, so much sugar.
Okay.
And every so often, I come across a person that does so good on it, they don't see any other way that they should live. And I try to help them through that. But as always, there are such benefits to consuming things like cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and avocados. So you're trying to work vegetables in there. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, this person, they've been doing it now since December, and they're like a pit bull. They're locked on it and they've been doing it for a while.
Can I ask a personal question? Well, not real personal, but was this person by chance really suffering from either depression or bipolar disorder or something of that nature?
No, sir. Actually, they were pretty healthy. They were on the ketogenic diet before and then just kind of went to the carnivore diet. They were extremely healthy. They just...
Now, when you say carnivore diet, you're not talking about just taking bacon and throwing it in the skillet and frying it up and eating that, and that's their source of meat and protein and fat, are you?
Yes, sir. I'm talking straight carnivore.
Okay.
They just eat nothing but meat. They have to eat eggs, but it's mostly steaks, bacon, a lot of red meat, hardly any other meat, actually.
You know, one of the, and actually that gives me a different way of kind of talking about this. I would say for men, is this a man or a woman?
Both.
Okay. I would say one of the aspects of men aging and having problems, significant problems, is if they accumulate too much iron. So if you and I could agree that red meat is high in iron, we would probably be in a good starting point, which can, if I just walk it backwards and I said, I don't see any problem with you having red meat on some level.
Right.
But I think there's a point where you could have an excessive consumption of red meat.
Yes.
Because in men, you know that we're water-soluble people. We're supposed to be 70% water, or we're 2/3 water to 70% water.
Right.
And so just like if I took a nail and I scraped the top clear coat off the sheet metal on your car and I exposed the bare metal under the paint, that stuff would start to rust.
Right.
And that's the problem with iron in the human body. It starts to rust. And when you have rusting that takes place in the human body because there's too much iron, that's where you have to start, that's where you start to have problems. But men's health especially really begins to decline when they start building up all this oxidized iron. And so that's why I usually recommend things like inositol hexaphosphate, which is just a kind of a B vitamin like compound that comes from rice bran. Because that helps chelate and get rid of the excess iron. Or if a man says, I think it would be a brilliant plan for me to donate blood once every 3 months. And, you know, the studies on those are phenomenal because men don't have a monthly menstrual cycle where they rid their bodies of iron.
Right.
Women do.
Right.
So do they eat vegetables at all?
No, sir. They eat straight red meat. They eat steaks. Ground beef, they eat bacon, they do eat eggs, they've cut out everything, everything even except for water and coffee, but they eat strictly red meat. They've been doing that since December, and I think that's just a little disconcerting because it's been so long, but there's also a small child involved too, and they're leaning towards feeding the child, and this actually is like a very small child. So
I can understand where your concerns are coming from, and I want to come across as just very gentle and supportive here, but I would say, for example, you and I could probably look at tons of research, and it would be without question that we would find immeasurable benefits to people that eat blueberries. I could probably come up with research, if you gave me just a few moments, I could look it up and say, look at the benefits of eating an apple versus not eating an apple. And you say, oh, wow, that's incredible. And then I could probably look up research on what would happen if a person started consuming broccoli, whereas they weren't having broccoli before. And you could probably build a case and go, dude, you could avoid a whole lot of health problems if you just ate some broccoli.
Right.
Anyway, I don't know that that's going to be completely sustainable until there's going to be some systems in the body that probably don't work as well as what we want them to work. You know, let me give you a different example. Let's just say that a person has a real health crisis and they have a scare, and they kind of just take a real deep inventory or kind of a hard look at themselves in the mirror, and they go, oh my goodness, you cannot go to the emergency room one more time with chest pain. I'm out of breath. My chest hurts all the time. My blood pressure's up. I have a killer headache every morning when I wake up. Well, you're probably thinking there's major stress on your circulatory system or your heart, and you'd be right. And they just go, I've got to change something here.
Right.
And sometimes people will say, you know what? I need to do something drastic. So on one level, I have read plenty of stories of people opting to fast for like weeks just because they were so desperate to give the. And I can understand that because you're giving your body a vacation from all the carbohydrates. You're trying to get your body into autophagy, which means what can my body do to rid itself of any excess deranged proteins or toxins or waste?
Right.
And you just drink water and probably take minerals. Well, I see a valid for that, but I don't think you can do that for the next 40 years successfully.
Exactly.
Maybe for a few weeks. Now, some people are so large, they might could fast a little bit longer and do just fine, but at some point, you need the nutrients and the polyphenols and the flavonoids and all the other components that are found in things like broccoli or
right.
or even an orange. But
right.
I think there's going to be, you know, human beings and animals are the same. We all need a variety. What would happen to a cow if all they were given was corn? Well, mm-hmm. they'd start developing a whole bunch of problems, I promise you. But when a
right.
cow is out in a pasture and they get to eat this huge variety of everything from, you know, fescue to bahia to Bermuda to, you know, this plant and that plant and nettle, I never understand. Have you ever seen like a cow eat a nettle? I'm going, how can they do that?
Right.
If I touched it, it would be the end of me. I'd be writhing in pain. But they need this variety, and this huge variety is where you get all these different nutrients. And so I think meat I'm not saying that meat is bad. I mean, if you read the
right.
Bible, I mean, meat is used all the time.
Right.
But I think I'm just like you. I'm just very open-minded that maybe they might need a little bit more nutritional variety than just what they get from bacon.
Right.
Or red
right.
meat.
Okay.
And so here's the point. I just haven't fleshed this out very well. With men especially, we're just iron accumulators. And so if he continues this for a real long period of time, he's going to get a boatload of iron in his body. And then we're going to have to do something to drain that iron off of him at some point.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. Well, that gives me a start. I do appreciate it.
Well, you know, a lot of times with these carnivore diets, it's not that they're eating sardines encrusted in rosemary and parsley with lemon juice and butter on them. That's just not what they're eating. That's why I kind of look at these people that are on a ketogenic diet, and their interpretation is, hey, Dr. Morgan, look at this. I took a bunch of grated cheese from a bag from the grocery store and threw it in a nonstick skillet along with a whole bunch of bacon. That's my meal. And I'm going, okay, that may not be real clean. I mean, on one level.
Right.
When you start eating a ton of bacon that has all these preservatives and chemicals in it, you're kind of asking for, toxic accumulation there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was nice to eat a steak every now and then, but
of course
every
it is.
Day.
I mean, how often would you say that you would eat a steak?
Oh, gosh, every couple of months, maybe once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, if you had ground beef several times a week, I wouldn't have any problem with that. But I think, you know, long term, when you start looking at studies, there are some things that tend to be... how successful would you live if you focused on 100% of your diet from processed sugar? I just don't think
right.
that's going to play out real well.
Right. Yeah, I do think it's a little excessive. I mean, they're having great results at first.
Of course, and that's probably there's probably a lot of good that's taking place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I think it's just over a long period of time. They've been doing it since December, so I'm like, I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, that's 8 months, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, no, and I think your story is going to play out over time, but thank you so much for at least running that past me this morning. I want to know how it turns out.
Thank you very much. You have a blessed day.
Oh, you too. May God bless you richly and look upon you and your family with favor.
Thank you. You too, Dr. Morgan.
Thanks.
Have a good
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you would like to join me on the radio, this program is Health Essentials. I'm assuming that KBGS is pretty much your favorite radio station at 90.3 FM. Or maybe you're listening to this program over the internet. I think you can just click on it, listen to it whenever you want to. I really don't know which programs they play on Sunday because I'm not the one that does that. That's John Paul. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. Actually, I'm calling for somebody else, but I wanted to ask.
But do you love this person that you're calling on behalf of?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Go ahead then.
What causes spoon nails, and what can you do to reverse it if it is reversible? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, all right.
You need to ask me a question?
Well, I was going to say, does this person like to crunch and chew on ice?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll cover the topic.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks, bye. What I should say is this a baby that likes to chew on leaded paint on a crib? That's just a joke. Anyway, spoon nails, you know how you could take your nail and it has a normal contour or a curve to it? So a spoon nail can easily be when you have a very significant deficiency of iron or zinc. The other day, I didn't look at the lady's fingernails, but it was 95 degrees outside. And when I was leaving town, I was out of gas. Well, I wasn't out of gas, but I thought, Roy, maybe you should stop and get some gas. And so when I went into the convenience store to get my change, there was a very sweet-looking older lady. And it, like I said, it was 95 degrees outside. Now, she was dressed with a head covering. She had a scarf around her neck. She wore a fairly long raincoat or coat. And I think she had gloves on. Now, you tell me, is that normal when it's 95 degrees, or maybe is she just a little bit cold? And a lot of times when somebody's low in iron, they feel cold all the time. Or their circulation, they're just a little bit chilly. They're not really generating heat. But it's not uncommon to have these spoon nails when you're low in iron or zinc. And what I was going to say about the zinc was this. I didn't tell you what the sweet little lady was buying. Of course, you know, I kind of felt sad for her. There's just no way around that. Because she was buying the honey buns that were on clearance. When I say honey buns, they're kind of like oval-shaped, like a racetrack. And I think they were on clearance when they start to run out of the expiration date. I don't really know what the expiration date is on those. But I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is what she's eating. I could be wrong about that, but most likely she was anemic. Now, she was a little bit humped over like she had osteoporosis, and I'm not going to try to guess her age. Okay, I'll guess her age. I'm going to say 87. If I'm wrong, I don't mean any offense by it. But a lot of times if a person is low in zinc, they literally crave sweets all the time. Sometimes if a person just craves lots of chocolate, that doesn't have to be a zinc deficiency. It can, but that can be a magnesium deficiency, especially if they're very, very ticklish. So how do you correct this? Well, the human body needs minerals. On one level, that's what you are. You're a battery. And batteries operate when they have water and minerals. I started to say sulfuric acid also. Anyway, spoon nails, you got to get minerals. Unsulfured organic blackstrap molasses is one of the easiest, best sources of a remedy to try to get iron into the body that the body can tolerate. If you want to get ferrous sulfate by a prescription from your physician, you can, but you can also have a whole lot of rusted constipation in your bowels, or you could take blackstrap molasses. Because we are batteries, and you need minerals to generate energy, right? Okay. There is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Somebody is trying to call. Oh, there they are. They came back. Thank you very much for calling back. Hi, I'm Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program. Are you there? Rats, they hung up on me. Okay, phone lines open, 903-586-5257. Okay, can you hear me now?
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right.
Good, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I couldn't think of what I wanted to say.
That's because I caught you off guard.
Yes, you did.
It's all my fault. Just take a breath. Were you going to ask me questions about how many Snickers bars can you eat during Halloween season? I'm joking.
No, I was not going to ask that. I don't eat Snicker bars.
Good girl.
I'm calling about my left eye. For 2 weeks now, it's been itching real bad. And I've rubbed it so much, I rubbed it kind of raw and red, and it's kind of puffy, and I don't know why it's itching.
Is it the lower eyelid, the eye, or the upper eyelid?
It's the upper.
Okay. Do you notice that there's a sty anywhere under the eyelid?
No.
So there's not like an ulcerated sore that's oozing?
No.
Do you have a bunch of crusty stuff that ends up in the corner of your eyes when you wake up in the morning?
No, but it is kind of scaly on the top lid.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to pretend that I'm a therapeutic optometrist. That would be Dr. Nisha Rudd in Tyler.
Okay.
She is, the rumor has it, she's a genius. But that's just a rumor.
No, I'm
joking.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking about, well, here, let me give you two or three ideas just to hold you over. But, you know, let's just take a step back. God has designed the body to heal itself if it's given an opportunity. Would you agree with that?
I would.
So we are going to help your left eye heal today, right?
Okay, but it's my, yes, it is my left eye. Left eye. I say it's my right eye, but it's left.
All right. Well, let me give you two or three ideas. Number one.
Okay.
The eyes, they need just an incredible amount of energy and oxygen for them to function properly. So in the back of my mind, I always ask myself, what foods could I recommend that would be extremely good for the eyes? And one thing that I always kind of fall back to is the family of fruits that are called berries. And in that family, if you told me you love the taste of cherries, even frozen cherries or blueberries or blackberries or raspberries or strawberries, I'd say, I'm on board.
Yes, and, I'm on board.
Okay, good. You can do that. The other thing that I would think of doing, when you go to, is there like one particular store that you like to go to shop for health products?
Well, I live in Palestine, so we only have one health food store.
So that's just going to Edith's store, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she may have a mild shampoo that has a little bit of tea tree oil in it.
Uh-huh.
Or sometimes you can get what's called Castile soap with a drop or two of the essential oil from the tea tree.
What kind of soap?
I call it Castile soap. And
Castile?
Now, you don't know this, but there's a very large store in Palestine that begins with the letter W, and it ends with the name Mart.
Oh,
I don't know,
okay,
if you've heard of that, have you?
No, I think I've been in there once or twice.
Once or twice. Well, if you could get directions on how to get back to this very large store that begins with the letter W, they have a section where they have cosmetics.
Uh-huh.
But on this aisle, there's two or three products that they have that might be of very good interest to you. Number one.
Okay.
They sell a product called Castile soap.
Castile soap.
Mm-hmm. And it's a liquid soap.
Okay.
Did I call it liquid soap? I meant to say liquid soap. But this is a vegetable-based soap, so it's uh-huh. very, very gentle. But even a drop or two of that in some water.
Uh-huh.
If you get the one that's made from tea tree or made with the addition of a little bit of tea tree oil.
Okay.
And if you don't, you could always just get the original and maybe just add one drop, as in one drop only, of the essential oil from the tea tree plant or uh-huh. the tea tree. What you would do is you would, in soapy water, you would gently wash your eyes with this.
Okay.
And obviously, I'm not trying to irritate your eyes, but just in case there's some type of bug growing on your eyelid, we want to gently scrub it away.
Oh, okay.
And the next thing is, down on that lower shelf, I'm guessing it's a lower shelf, they have a product called castor oil.
Oh, yes.
Now, just to make sure we're on the same page, they're very famous. People jump up and down and say, you can't use this internally, you can't put it in the eyes. I say hogwash. there is a drug that's prescribed for dry eyes by the medical profession. It's called Restasis. I think they probably have tons of commercials on TV. And
oh, yes.
They probably show you how your life can be transformed when you have dry eyes. And we can, use Restasis. But Restasis contains castor oil. So you can't tell me castor oil is bad. It's been used for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, longer than that. So You might even consider when you go to bed at night just allowing one drop of castor oil to go into the left eye.
Okay.
The other thing that I would really consider doing is making a really warm compress. And there's an herb called eyebright.
Eyebright?
Mm-hmm. I think it's spelled E-Y-E.
Yeah.
And then the word bright.
Okay.
But some people will make eyebright tea and then make a compress out of a very clean washcloth or some, fabric of some kind and just make a hot compress over the eye. I don't think we should bring your eye to a boil.
Oh.
But if it's very comfortable and warm, if you could soak, a cotton pad or cloth in eyebright. I mean, they sell eyebright tea. And you could just soak the cloth and put it over your eye. But God's designed to heal.
Do I get this at this big store starting with a W, or do I go to a...
Well, if you could go by Edith Mitchell's store there in Palestine and ask her for some eyebright tea, I'm sure she would be willing to accommodate you.
Okay.
You don't have to tell her what I said about soaking it and putting it over your eyeball. No, your eye would be closed the whole time, or your lids would be closed. Mm-hmm. But I think I would have you try these. And have you tried any... And please forgive me for saying this, but, there's nothing more irritating when your eye is itching, right?
Oh, no.
So, in a short-term pinch, I am not against you going to that large W-name store and getting some Visine for eye allergies and just trying a drop or two of that. Or have you already tried that?
No, I haven't.
Well, I might actually point you that direction until we can figure this out. But may God look upon you with great favor and help resolve this eye problem.
Yes.
That would be so irritating to try to drive down the road. I asked a woman the other day, I said, can you even drive home? Because she had such severe eye allergies. I thought, maybe we could let your two-year-old son drive you. No, I'm joking about it. But, man, that would be horrible.
Yes, because it has itched before when I was driving. I mean, since it started this. And I'd be driving, and I would want to rub it so bad.
But you don't remember, like, walking into, like, a tree branch or something that hit you in the eye?
No. I do work out in my yard.
Mm-hmm. Good. But, don't stop.
I haven't run into anything.
Well, if this is not better,
it come... just started itching.
Well, if this
I
is not better...
rubbing.
If this is not better, come Monday morning, go see a therapeutic optometrist.
Okay.
They probably have there in the land of Palestine.
Oh, we have one or two.
Good. Well, I'm sure you'll be in good hands.
Okay.
Let me know how it works out, pretty please.
All right. Thank you very
much. Yes, thank you. I hope you have a wonderful day, ma'am.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, that'd be a way to, like, upset the apple cart, having an itching eye that won't clear up. I think 2 weeks is long enough, don't you? The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I'm assuming, because you're listening to this program, that you have an interest in getting as close to nature as possible and finding a way for the body to heal. Well, me too. I'm just like you are. But I want to help you solve the problem. Good morning. Thank you very much for your phone call.
Hi, I have a question for you. I have had shingles since February.
Bless your heart.
Yes. I've been to an allergy doctor. I've been to my primary care doctor. And yesterday I finally went to hospitality ER, and you were the one that they suggested talking to because I can't seem to get rid of them.
Did you say they recommended that you call me?
Oh, I probably shouldn't have said that.
No,
well,
that's fine.
Someone
actually, that's quite flattering that the emergency room would recommend me. All right, I'd like to take the ball and run with it. So, where are the shingles located?
On the right side of my, start on my chin, go down my neck.
Actually, can I ask a favor of you? I need to look up something very, very quickly because I just read on
sure.
this topic. You are so kind and merciful to me. Look up shingles.
Well, and I'll tell you, I was in a wreck a few years ago.
Oh, bless your heart.
Never, ever was sick until then. It seems to really, I don't know if it's because of all of the surgeries I had, but my whole immune system seemed compromised. And since then, I'm allergic to all kinds of food, and it seems like everything that's good for you.
Well, there has been a major stress to your system, and we've got to find a way for you to get your strength back. And I'm very honored that someone at the emergency room would kindly recommend that I try to take care of you. Anyway, I was looking at this right here, and I just wanted to at least run this past you. I'm not trying to overtalk the topic, but you know, shingles is a viral infection. And usually it rears its ugly head when you're under the most stress and your body's a bit worn down and run down. So in the short term, I want to give you some ideas on what you can do. But in the long term, what can we do to completely restore your body to where the immune system is strong and vibrant? So let me give you a couple ideas. And this is what I'm looking up right here. This is horrible. I can't even spell the name of these right here, but they were talking about applying in. Can I tell you the name of the herb that they apply topically to shingles to stop them?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have a pencil?
Oh, I do.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to try to spell it. And if we have to start over, I completely understand. But the herb they're recommending, or the essential oil, is spelled C-A-L-O-P-H-Y. L-L-U-M. Calophyllum.
Well, I use a lot of essential oils, but I've never heard of that one.
Well, I know. That's why I had to look it up, because I'm saying, okay. But there's, in a book that I'm reading right now, they're talking about all the antiviral agents. And the other one is spelled R-A-V-I-N-T-S-A-R-A. Ravintsara.
Well, I've never heard of that one either.
I know, and I'm not trying to like throw something out of left field. But the largest gland of your immune system is called the thymus gland. And the thymus gland can literally be exhausted and worn down from just chronic burdens and stress. I had a conversation with a person yesterday, and here's how it went. A person had like 5 surgeries in a row the last 2 weeks of their life, and I kind of said, you know, there's a point where the body just can't take any more. It doesn't have any energy reserve. It's like completely exhausted. And I'm thinking to myself, really? 5 more surgeries? And these surgeries, in my opinion, weren't, and of course, I'm not a surgeon, so I'm not qualified. But I thought to myself, I don't know that that's what they, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. And the person said it was because they could get insurance reimbursement. But anyway, your thymus gland, it needs vitamin C and zinc to be able to protect you from infections, even viral infections. And so anytime that you have a problem or a viral infection that lasts more than 7 days, I have no choice but to revert back to the thymus gland is not doing its job. It's not working really well. And so, you know, one thing that you could do is you could make a concerted effort to take more zinc and more vitamin C. And that's just my way of saying, let's feed your immune system to give it a chance to work properly. The other thing that I like very much, not everybody likes these. I get people that make faces at me all the time, but I can deal with it. Mushroom extracts. If you've ever heard of shiitake mushrooms or Ganoderma mushrooms or turkey tail, all these things, you can eat them, but they are white buttons and, you know, all sorts of mushrooms you can eat.
Yeah.
Mushrooms are very good when your immune system has been exhausted and worn down. I'm a huge fan of that flower called the echinacea flower or the purple cone flower. You know what I'm talking about?
No, sir.
Well, it's a flower called echinacea. Sometimes it's called Echinacea angustifolia, but it's a flower that's very powerful when you consume the roots of it to stimulate your immune system to overcome an infection. The reason I mentioned those two essential oils to start off with that I had to spell is because in this one study, they just applied them topically to the shingles. And I was very, very pleased to read that because, you know, Sometimes I see easy cases of shingles, and sometimes I see really hard cases, but I love people, and I want you to heal. And sometimes I lay awake at night thinking about, well, how's this person doing right here? And I want you to do very, very well. So I think if you've had plenty of surgeries from your car wreck, then most likely let's start feeding you a little bit of extra vitamin C, and let's start feeding you some zinc. If you want to take thymus extract, the most common source is going to be from a calf. When they go to the meat processing plant, I know this sounds gross, I'm not trying to gross you out, but I think God has put all these things on the planet for our benefit, and I'm not against using a calf thymus gland to help rebuild and repair your body. It'll make you stronger, and that's what we want.
Okay, so somewhere in all of this, I developed problems with my thyroid, which I was very healthy until this accident. So does all that kind of work together?
It does. I mean, you've just had a huge, and you have to forgive me for being very general and vague, but that's just the way I want to be right now. But you've had the biggest insult to your body that you've ever had in your life, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so, yeah, your in study after study shows that when a woman's in a severe car wreck, it makes the thyroid just crash. And your thyroid is by far and away your largest gland that makes hormones for you. So what do you do when the thyroid crashes? Well, we got to bring it back. A lot of times what I'll use to feed and nourish the thyroid is just thyroid glandulars. They're usually from a cow source. Does that totally gross you out?
Nothing. I just want to stop feeling bad. So nothing grosses me out right now. Where do you get that?
Well, normally a health food store would be a good source, either that or online, but I love thyroid extracts. I love thymus extracts. I am a huge fan of a gland called the spleen. You ever heard of the spleen?
I've heard of it inside me.
Yeah. Well, that's the biggest filter of your immune system, and your thymus is the largest gland of your immune system. That's where all your white blood cells get their training. It's kind of like boot camp for your immune system. And the largest gland that produces hormones is called the thyroid. So I would say if we gave you those, this would be like a movement in the right direction.
All right.
But that's
well,
the only
you.
Choice we got right now is to get you strong again, right?
Yes, sir.
I demand you get your strength back right now.
Okay,
I know it's not
you.
That easy, but no, if you will. But what I would do is let me give you one more simple suggestion. I know you have to go. But you need to sunbathe a little bit every day. And I'm not trying to expose you to the universe, but if there's any place you have privacy, if you can expose your skin to solar, infrared, ultraviolet radiation, you will be better off because that will help heal your thyroid and your thymus and your spleen.
So does walking count in the sun, or do I actually
It does. Do you live in the country?
Okay. No, sir. I live in Tyler, but I walk 5 miles every day.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, what I was suggesting was the more of your skin that you can let come in contact with the natural light from the sun, the better this is going to go.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Okay. Never mind. Okay, well, thank you very much for your phone call. I really appreciate you, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I always like hearing myself after I say something. I'm just joking, I don't. You're listening to Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Well, it appears that we're completely out of time because I think I have exactly 20 seconds left before we have to sign out. But it's been a pleasure being with you today. The other article that I was going to get, well, there's not even time to talk about that. Sorry. You're listening to KBJS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.